I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Let's get right to it. I got up this morning, like many of you, and I realized that whatever Senator Corker said, and Senator Flake said, and Senator McCain said, and what Senator Al Franken said, and Collins said, and Watson said, and retired Boehner said, didn't affect me. I earned the same amount of money today as I did yesterday. Nothing they did affected that. I had just as much fun with or without their input. In other words, whatever they're doing doesn't affect anybody on a day-to-day basis, and it's hard to even project that what they do will affect us in the next 3 or 4 years. Oh, I understand the big issues with health and the big issues with taxes, but the Obama ACA seems to roll right along. People still sign up for it. There hasn't been any change in taxes, and believe me, whatever simplified tax bill they pass probably won't mean much in the long run anyway. So politics moves on in its own world. It affects politicians because they get paid by the federal government. It affects contracts, perhaps, that the federal government releases, but I don't have any of those contracts. I may have mentioned to you earlier about the famous Fishwater, Montana contract, which two people from Montana secured a $350 million contract to get the power lines working again in Puerto Rico. And I was surprised to learn that the line supervisor was getting paid $383 an hour. And a person who climbs up one of the ladders, they get $260 an hour. And then I learned that they also got $80 a day for food and, believe this or not, $300 a day for a hotel. Now, there can't be many hotels still operating there, so that may be what it actually costs. So unless you're Fishwater Montana Inc., you probably are not too concerned about what's going on in politics. The more I think about it, over the last 30 years, it hasn't really affected me. Now, certainly the wars affect the military, and people that go into the military are affected by it. But to a large degree, politics has a life of its own. Yeah, I understand if you're a contractor, your business can go up and down with the number of contracts that are given to you. If your main customer is the federal government, such as data processing or security, then you're interested in politics because politics affects your business. But for most of us, it's just not the case. Or if it is the case, it affects us so far out in the future that we're able to plan some sort of alternative option. The one thing I do see about politics, about Trump and John Boehner, retired, says when he's cussing out all his old Senate friends, is that it's based on competition. Extreme competition to be the best, to be first, to get the most money for your state, to get reelected. These people are competitive. And we shouldn't be too surprised about that because from an early age, we're all taught to be competitive. Even in the sports where they say, don't give our kids grades yet, or don't give our kids marks, or let everybody play equally, the kids know from an early age they're in a competition. They're in a competition to pitch, to catch, to throw, to get picked. I was in high school, and I never got picked for one of the games that we played in gymnasium. But I knew it was competitive, and I tried, but I simply couldn't pass muster in some of the competitive gym games. Be that as it may, everything else is competitive. Grade school, football, basketball, volleyball, high school, football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, tiddlywinks, math competitions, it's all competitive. We're taught that competition is the key to survival, and winning the competition is the key to getting ahead. So we shouldn't be surprised to see the intense competition, beyond logic, by the way, beyond rationality, between the Democrats and the Republicans. But my outrage is not about politics per se. It's about the absolute lemming-like activity of the different political groups. I'm a Democrat. I vote Democratic. The Democrats have already said they're going to vote against any tax bill. Doesn't make any sense. That's competition to the nth degree. That's saying before the fight even begins, I'm not going to play fairly. I'm not going to vote my own conscience. All the Democrats cannot be against the tax bill, whatever it is. Some of them must see that there's some good in it, but that's not the issue. They're not looking for good. They're looking for the underlying foundation of competition. And in their world, competition is binary. You win or you lose. So for them to win, within their definition of winning, the Democrats all have to vote as a bloc, independent of what they actually think, independent of what their area of the country that they represent actually thinks. They're Democrats, and by their very nature, Democrats vote against anything that is recommended by Republicans. And to the Republicans' discredit, they seem to do the same. Now, Trump, for the most part, is not partisan Republican or partisan Democrat. He does want to accomplish something in the way of tax cuts, in the way of health care reform. So he's willing to deal with Democrats and Republicans. But for the most part, they're not willing to deal with him because they vote along party lines. It may be the transparency of how they vote is what bothers most people and outrages me. A very few number of Democrats, the people that control how the Democrats vote, they're the ones that tell all the other Democrats how to vote. One or two or three or four people in the Democratic body. They send memos around called talking points. When you talk, talk about these points. When you speak, speak negatively about these people, about these issues. And when you vote, you always vote against a Republican initiative. And again, I'm not singling out the Democrats. I think the Republicans do the same thing. Now, Bannon would like to shake all that up. And I salute him for that. I don't necessarily like the way he does it, but I agree that our Congress needs to be totally shaken up. I don't know if it can exist in the technology that we have today. In other words, in a world where communications is instantaneous, worldwide, global. People can chime in from anywhere. That whole communication methodology challenges the fundamental way our country began. It began because distances were difficult to travel, and therefore we had to elect representatives who would go to a central point, who would meet at a central location, and discuss what should be done for America, and bring their decisions back home to their respective areas. In other words, communications and the way people communicated several hundred years ago dictated the whole methodology for a communication system based on the fact everybody couldn't get together and vote without having a representative go to the location for them. And news traveled slowly. Not today. Now news travels with the speed of light. Reddit will have a headline that might be viewed by 500,000 readers in a 24-hour period. Jeff Bezos is no dumbbell by buying the Washington Post. Sure, Trump tweets, because that's a communication channel available to him. Would John F. Kennedy tweeted it? Would John F. Kennedy tweeted? Probably would. He used television better than anyone else. He understood the communication media of his time. That was TV. Go back to the 40s, and we have radio. The president, Roosevelt, understood the fireside chat. He understood one-way communication by radio. You couldn't object. You couldn't ask questions. Information was just one way. But today, what do we have? Asymmetric communications. It goes multiple ways. It goes north and south. It goes east and west. It goes up and down. And there are many, many different ways of communicating. Tweeting is just one of them. Facebook claims they have over 1 billion users. A billion people on Facebook. There's 7.5 billion people approximately in the world. Now, if we just divide that in half and say half those people are, you know, too young to do social media, you got 2 or 3 billion people that could communicate, and 1 billion of them are on Facebook. That's never happened before. The mainstream media, and in fact the population, we're still learning how to understand that. Don't think for a minute that hasn't had a major cultural impact. Don't think for a minute that 20 years from now, the need for a Senate and a Congress may just be unnecessary. Why? Because we don't need to send representatives to Washington, D.C. to vote or to read things they don't really read anyway. We can just as easily not read them and vote the way we feel on the internet or through social media. Yes, we are, in fact, living through a major communication change. The Protestant Reformation was, as I understand it, about 500 years ago. And what drove the Reformation, among other things, was writing things that they thought Catholicism should do, but didn't do. And so we had the Reformation. Today, for example, many of the things that the Protestant Reformation stood for are now standard operating procedure in Christianity. For example, you can't make a big donation and automatically get an assurance of going to heaven. But prior to 500 years ago, you could. That was part of the old deal. The bigger the donation, the higher place you'd probably have in Christianity, in heaven. The Protestant Reformation said, that can't be right. That's got to be wrong. In other words, the communications, the methods by which we communicate have a big impact on our culture. For me, the main outrage for me about politics is not about Trump. It's not about him lying or somebody else lying. I'm not sure who tells the truth anymore. There's a big article in the Post about John Boehner and how he cussed out any number of people using the F word. Of course, he's been retired now, I think, for a couple of years. The point is, he never talked like that openly while he was a Senate member, although there are stories that he did. But generally, he did not. But now he's retired. Now he can say whatever he wants. The same story with Corker. Same story with Flake. McCain probably doesn't care anymore. So when are these people ever telling the truth? Only when they retire? Only when they decide not to run again for re-election? And how does a guy like Al Franken get elected? Think about it. He was a comedian on Saturday Night Live. What could he possibly say to people in Minnesota that would convince them, hey, I'm Al Franken. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice guy. People like me. Send me to the Senate. No, I've never been there before. No, I don't understand politics at all. But send me there and I'll do some good for the state of Minnesota. Go figure. How does that happen? I think Franken opens the floodgates, or he has opened the floodgates. In 10 years, it'll be Google executives running for office because they have the money. It'll be Facebook executives running for office. Don't think for a minute in 20 years that Mark Zuckerberg might not be president of the United States. I watched Ronald Reagan when he was on Death Valley Days. And if you'd ask me then, can this guy, who was an announcer on Death Valley Days, ever become president? I would have said, no way. No way. But guess what? He became president, and he was well thought of. I don't remember anything he did that affected my life. I'd have to read some of the history to put the two and two together. But while he was president, seemed to be a good president, helped to tear down the Berlin Wall, et cetera, et cetera. The point is our elected officials are going to come from other places than the law in the next 10 or 15 years. Not that that's bad. It's just that it takes so much money to be an elected official, more today than it did 20 years ago. It takes so much name recognition. People know who Bill Gates is. People know who Mark Zuckerberg is, and so on. Name recognition is a key part of running for and winning the presidency. My hope from the heartland is that we will find a way to not have the self-destructive partisanship we have between Democrats and Republicans, that we will find a way for people to put their own conscience first, what they believe in that is right for America, and not what their party leaders tell them to believe in. That's the outrage for me. So think about those things today. Think about the Democratic partisanship, the Republican partisanship, and think about, are they truly doing anything that affects you? Oh, I know we're worried about North Korea. And I read an article in the Washington Post that North Korea is just inches away from launching a nuclear attack. What do I know? Maybe they are. I don't have any special information on that. But I do have some lifetime experiences that tell me that although some people commit suicide, most people don't. And I don't think for a minute, I don't believe for a minute that the people of North Korea, the citizens, even though they may worship the North Korean president, they're not about to want to commit suicide. They have kids just like the rest of us. They may hate America, but they're not stupid enough to think that their country, sovereign as though it may be, could take out America without the conclusion being the absolute destruction of North Korea. Now, one more point on that that does frighten me a bit is another limited war in North Korea. They do something, bomb something, and maybe don't kill anybody, but destroy four buildings. We send a missile over there and destroy four buildings. Then they destroy seven buildings and six people. Then we send a missile over there and destroy nine buildings and 14 people. Yeah, that's called escalation. And that's how the wars that meant nothing got started and never ended. You know the ones I'm referring to. So I hope we don't engage in that type of warfare, because it doesn't go anywhere but kill more of our best and brightest people who enlist in the military with no hope of ever winning a war that our politicians refuse to acknowledge or may refuse to acknowledge exists. I'm hoping we, of course, do not have any war, but who knows what will happen in the next 10 or 20 years. I certainly do not. But I know people that are scared to death that we might have a nuclear war. I don't share their fear, because even if we do, it unlikely will affect anybody in the heartland. But it will affect people in North Korea. So that's all my comments for today. I hope it's given you some things to think about and build part of your life around. And send in some comments if you have some. I'm getting a few more than I used to. I'm getting some new listeners. People are emailing me and saying, I am a new listener. I appreciate that. But I'm not after a lot of listeners. The truth of the matter is, I'm not after any listener. If you listen and it makes sense to you, wonderful. If you listen and it doesn't make sense to you, then let me know. If you just listen and find it provocative and meaningful to you, that's all I care about. And that's all for today. This October 30th, 2017, coming to you from the heartland of America. You may not agree with what I say, but it's coming from the heart, but also from more than 60 years of watching political events unfold. And unfold they have. Have a great day. Listen in tomorrow. I've got some comments coming on, of course, Mueller's grand indictment. And what it's going to impact on Trump, but also Paul Manafort and his business buddy. Who knows where that will end up, but I'm going to look at it later today and make some comments tomorrow. So have a great day. Listen again tomorrow. Bob Sherwood with WebTalkWithBob@gmail.com. Signing.